You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some.
Beware, I live. IGN GameScoop.
Hello and welcome to IGN's GameScoop. I'm Anthony Gallegos. With me is weatherman Greg Miller for 89.7 The News.
Bing bong in the morning. Bong.
And also Damon Hatfield.
Oh, you skipped over Christine, too.
No, I'm not that important.
Well, Christine's like our face, right? She's like the girl we put on the news because everyone, like, wow.
Wants to watch a girl?
Yeah. Where was that going that wasn't going to end up with you in People and Places?
Radio-friendly Anthony Gallegos is right. This is the IGN GameScoop podcast. Welcome to it. I am your host, Damon Hatfield, and I am joined by Christine, Craig, and Anthony this week. We have our new setup in our podcast room is very radio-ish.
Yes.
So that's what inspired Anthony. Well, we're wearing headsets, but the mic isn't there yet.
But you have to get very up close and personal with your microphones now.
Yeah, just kind of work it,
work the shaft. That's what I've been doing. I've been moving around by the shaft a lot.
Now, before we get into the show, there's something very important we need to figure out first.
It's true.
What do we want to get free? We just need to figure out what we want to be sent to us for free.
We have to complain about something.
And then we'll talk about how
like.
We're not sure if we like it or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was thinking strippers. Do we maybe want strippers?
What? A lot of people are saying cars. What about apartments? What if we had a nice luxury? I don't like how luxury apartments in San Francisco are hard to come by and just not worth the money.
It's true. Our apartment's not worth what they're trying to charge for.
It's not worth that.
Hopefully, the San Francisco Luxury Apartments Twitter feed is listening.
What would there actually be a Twitter feed for? Lemonade in San Francisco.
Not enough lemonade? You want some lemonade? Okay.
I want someone to deliver his lemonade.
Okay.
Greg, did you ever get on the phone with Pachi's Pizza?
I did not get on the phone with Pachi's Pizza yet.
They want to talk to you.
They call, they apologize profusely. We're jumping around a lot here. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't listen to last week's GameScoop, what happened is we came up here to do GameScoop.
Yes.
Outside, there were a bunch of Domino's pizzas.
Yes.
We came in here, and I got all excited, saying, when we leave here, those pizzas are going to be abandoned. We can just gorge on Domino's pizza. And this kicked off a long discussion of, is Domino's pizza the worst thing in the world? And I said no, and Brian Altano said yes, and then we went back and forth forever. Damon kept saying he likes Pizza Hut. But the one thing is, none of us could agree because we hadn't tried the new Domino's pizza yet.
And I think the crust is just saltier. That's what I got out
they
of
put,
it.
Like, they put garlic stuff around the rim. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
A rim job, if you will, of garlic sauces and stuff.
I will, actually.
Okay, good. We went out there, Damon. The pizzas are there. There's other people partying around the pizzas. We saw Jack, I think, right? And then we picked up pizza. We started eating pizza. And then you picked up pizza. Altano picked up some pizza. I looked over. I started looking around and realized I didn't recognize anyone. No, none of these people are IGN employees I knew or recognized.
Because we thought it was supposed to be for our indie developers.
Yeah, right. The indie open house stuff. They had a party that night. And we thought that's what this was part of. So then I walked over to you. We started panicking. And then Yost came over. Nobody knows who that is. But Yost came over. And they said, you're not supposed to be here. This pizza is not paid for by IGN.
Wait, whose pizza was it?
They were doing some developer thing. Like, it was like some...
There's a new web standard called HTML5 that just released, and it was for that.
Okay.
What?
Look at you now.
So we all panicked. We only ate...
Why was that here?
Damon gave me one piece of pizza. We ran downstairs, and we couldn't come to a verdict. Because first off, now it's guilt pizza. This is basically what happened in the Garden of Eden, right?
And
like,
it was
you
cold.
Just walked over here, you're like, and it was cold.
So it wasn't even good. That's not... Really.
Proving GameScoop is the most popular podcast in the history of mankind. Mm-hmm. Domino's Pizza heard this podcast, tweeted at us in the morning about it.
How was the pizza, right?
Yeah. So then we told them the whole story in 140 characters, and they sent us all a bunch of pizzas of our choosing.
Which, I will say, was totally edible. It was pretty good.
I got a buffalo chicken minus the onions. I liked it. I would pay
Not
for the pizza.
Not as good as Pizza Hut.
Didn't you have a Domino's pizza the other
day? Yeah, but this is what I talk about. I order that pizza only when I'm wasted, so I can never give you a verdict on whether or not if it was good or not. Mm.
The crust was good. That's all I ate of that.
Yeah. I would order another one. I can go for one right now. I won't lie to you. But Anthony Gallegos, of course, impossible to please, did not like his veggie thin crust.
Yeah, I didn't.
Why would you order a thin crust?
Now, of course, he sat there and gorged on it. He sat there and ate the entire thing so no one else could.
I told Greg that as soon as he set it down on the counter and everyone started grabbing it, like my family mode kicked in where I was like, eat as much as you can, as fast as you can.
is it really competitive to get food in your family? Like,
well, me and my brother were both big eaters, and my mom would make reasonable portions. and so me and my brother would compete to see who would not get a reasonable portion.
And also, you're a big fan of Pachi's Pizza here in San Francisco.
Here's what happens in the timeline, ladies and gentlemen. We do the GameScoop podcast. We don't like Domino's. Then we did that on
Thursday.
Yeah, we did that. So we move on with our life. Monday, I have a bad day at work. I'm stressed out. I'm tired. I have a million things to do. I'm walking home with Steimer, and I'm like, you know what? I've had a bad day. I'm buying a Pachi's Pizza. This is going to set it right. And Pachi's takes a while to deliver, right?
Usually an hour
and 15 minutes.
Great pizza. If you're in the Bay Area, check out Pachi's Pizza.
Totally. Totally. It's great. It's spelled Patixi's. If you're,
it's weird.
P-A-T-I.
No.
P-A-T-X-I.
I was going to get there.
Isn't there a C in there?
No, there's no C. Anyways, though, I ordered this at 6:30. I'm like, it's going to get here about 7:45. I'll walk Portillo. It'll be great. No problem. 8 o'clock rolls around, 8:10, no pizza. I call them like, hey, we haven't gotten this pizza yet. And they're like, what's your name? I'm like, well, you didn't ask for my name when you took the order. You just looked me up on the internet, on the thing.
Address. Yeah.
He asked me for the entire order again, which I found fishy. And so I hung up. Another 20, 30 minutes went by. And like, now I'm mad. Now I'm even more grumpy. I'm even more pissed off. I just call and I cancel the order. No one apologizes. No one makes it. Again, he asks me what I order, as if they don't have a computer that says all this. So I freaked out. And then I tweeted about it.
Maybe they don't have a computer. Maybe they're like carving.
I've been to
orders on
I know
the wall.
What they have. They have a computer. Anyways, though. Tweet about it. The next day, they were very apologetic. They started getting phone calls from like the general manager and their community person. Yeah. And so, I still haven't touched base with them. But and I told them in an email because they were all very upset. Like, they're all, we're so sorry this happened. I'm like, I wasn't saying I'm never eating there again. I'm just saying that, you know, as much as
the love affair is over.
Exactly.
At least for now.
Yeah, exactly.
On hiatus.
Exactly. You know, my heart got broken. I needed him, right? It's like if you know, a horrible event happened in my life and I needed Damon. And then he just kept saying, I'm going to come. I'll be there in a little bit. No, I swear. I'm coming. Don't worry. And so then I ordered Chinese food.
That sounds
and it was
very
not
sexual, actually.
Yeah. That does.
Yeah, we got to take it there, don't you?
Greg and Anthony, yesterday you went down to Electronic Arts.
Yes.
For the EA Summer Showcase.
And continuing the theme of food, man, did they have some food there. They
were doing the taco truck thing, right?
They had five food trucks.
They showed a bunch of games nobody gives a rat's ass about. And then they had all these food trucks.
Sims Pets.
We'll get to the games in a second. They had all these food trucks out on the lawn. One's a taco truck. One's a grilled cheese truck. One's a Southern barbecue truck. One is Sam's Chowder House, which we know from our old days in the old office. And then the other is Kara's Cupcakes.
I was so freaking jealous when you said that. I was like, can I go to...
What, you want the cupcakes now and the Sam's Chowder House?
And the grilled cheese. I want everything.
Hmm. I'll tell you who ate everything. Anthony Gallegos. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to give a round of applause to Anthony Gallegos for being the best fat kid I know. He gets a super burrito at one place.
It was a super burrito?
Goes next door and gets a grilled cheese. goes next door, and this he sits down and eats this food. It's not like he's ordering all at once. Goes next door, gets a sweet tea, macaroni, and hush puppies.
Wait,
goes next door and gets some kind of crazy salad I've never heard of.
Quinoa.
And then taps out. Didn't get a cupcake, but I understand at this point.
How could you not have topped it up with a cupcake?
He was in no shape for any more food.
No, you have. Hurting. If you're going to go, you've got to go all the way.
You can't just crap out at the end. I should have stopped after the super burrito and the grilled cheese, but at that point I thought it was funny.
Okay, yes, but before we got to the food trucks,
there were also games
there. We saw a bunch of games for you, and they weren't crap. They weren't bad.
Now, I was really excited about one game in particular when I first heard about it.
Yeah.
We had heard about this. We had heard that there was going to be a downloadable Burnout game
called Burnout Crash.
Yeah, coming later this year. That was just the Crash mode from classic Burnout games, and they revealed that yesterday. And so I was really excited at first.
Yeah,
and then
you saw a screenshot.
Yeah, and heard a little bit more about what the game is, and
not so anymore.
I think it's a little disingenuous. They say we're bringing Crash mode back, but it's not Crash mode as anybody really knows it.
It's not even Burnout as anyone knows it.
Yeah. So does one of you want to explain exactly what
it
is?
Sure. I mean, for us, it all started to go south when the lights went out and they showed the E for everyone or whatever. And it said cartoon violence.
And I was like, no.
And, we were like this. Because we knew this was getting announced because we know everything. Because we're IGN. And we see y'all. Mm-hmm. And the trailer starts. And I have a great photo that I'm going to ask you to embed in this article of Anthony and Peter Venkman reacting to it. Because I just turned. Because they were both hands on their faces watching this. Because the trailer is like this little cartoon car running out and exploding. And so we're like.
The teaser trailer is terrible. I don't know why they released that. It looks like they put it together that morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially because they had the game then to show you, and they had screenshots, and Peter went and, played it? Yeah.
He watched somebody play it
or whatever. I mean, like, whatever. But anyways, it's Burnout Crash Mode used to be that you would go and, you know, crash into stuff and get a whole bunch of points and get this and do that and try to keep a combo going. And it was in three dimensions, and it was cool. And this one is, like, top-down, old-school GTA. Similar idea of, you know, you start in a car accident and then try to chain together all these explosions and stuff. But it looks like GTA, and it's using Kinect at one point where you have to jump to explode your car, and it's just... Yeah.
Like, pretend to drive by...
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I know.
Yes.
With your hands in front of you.
You can play it with a controller on PS3 and Xbox, so I'm assuming most people do that, but there is a Kinect interesting offshoot to it.
And they could totally have done just classic Crash Mode as a downloadable game. You know, you play something like Trenched, and you realize that's totally feasible.
Now, have you written it off? Because I didn't see the demo.
I wouldn't say I've 100% written it off yet. Yeah. I'll still check it out, but I'm not as excited as I was at first.
I'm fine. I mean, I never played a lot of Burnout Crash Mode before. So
it's always been my favorite part of Burnout.
Says, yeah.
And that's why I couldn't get into Burnout Paradise. It was all I want to do is play Crash Mode. I love it.
That was just trash. Yeah. I don't know. I love the old GTA style, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I have no problem with top-down stuff, you know? So You have a level, and your goal is to drive into traffic and cause a crash and cause as much damage as possible.
Just like real life.
On paper, that sounds like fun, you know. So we'll check it out. It makes me think of Pain. Remember that PSN game, Pain?
Yeah, How can I forget Pain?
I've been thinking about that recently. Like that's. I wish that concept had been explored more by other developers. I feel like there's a lot of potential there for really fun stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because Pain had some problems.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun enough. Yeah.
I feel like there's something there.
You gotta play.
Yeah, it's kind of that Angry Birds sort of thing, you know. Like,
yeah,
you know,
that's true. It's just you figure Angry Birds is such an immediate, you know, oh my god, I'm doing something cool. Oh, yeah. I know what I can do. Whereas Pain was like, you take four shots, right, and like you couldn't get this bowling ball to fall down and blow up a car and hit an old lady in the balls. You're like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Why would an old lady in the balls?
She was actually a bank robber in drag, trying to get the bank robbed.
An old lady cross-dresser.
Yep. Well, no, because
an old man cross-dresser.
Well, isn't cross-dressing a lifestyle choice? This was just a disguise.
Speaking of being faked out by women that might actually be men, Anthony, how closely have you been following Fuck Yeah Girls with Tattoos?
I haven't lately, but is there?
Well, they don't really have standards.
People.
Yeah, they don't have standards.
It's just tattoos. It's not necessarily hot. Well, girls
except
with tattoos.
That most of it is like attractive girls, but then they'll show some girls that I think they're pretty. I don't think they're actually women. I don't know if you've seen this. Yeah.
No.
Or they look like cross-dressers or something.
That could be.
I don't know.
I like to know what I'm getting into. That's why I only go to fuckyeahasianguys.tumblr.com. Yeah spelled Y-E-A. No H.
When was the last time that was updated?
I hear the webmaster. He's got a lot of work to do. he tries to keep it updated the best he can.
You guys, they also announced a legacy for Dragon Age 2. This is downloadable content for Dragon Age 2.
Continuing the story of Hawk. Whatever happened to his dad? Well, let's find out.
Well, his dad died.
Well, let's
spoilers.
Or did he?
Exactly. I don't know. We saw the presentation. Yeah, there it was. More Dragon Age. It was
so,
I mean,
Dragon Age didn't resonate with you.
Yeah.
Didn't resonate with me.
I don't really care about Dragon
but
Age.
But Christine is a big Dragon Age fan.
Yes.
Did you watch the presentation?
No, I just watched the trailer.
Oh, okay. That's good.
But
did that excite you?
Yeah. How are you feeling about Legacy?
I would be more interested to see content that comes after the campaign story rather than something that you could do at any point in time and just going back in your past.
Yeah, so this expansion is playable at any point in the Dragon Age 2 campaign. However, I don't think it's actually playable past the point that you got totally bored and stopped playing the game.
Oh, snap.
I came up with that one yesterday. I thought it was pretty good.
I'll tell you what, Damon. We go to this thing. And they show it the presentation, and they play it during the presentation, and then they take us, you know, and then you can play it on the floor. However, those impressions are embargoed.
They're just ones where you play it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, if you saw the presentation,
it feels like more Dragon Age.
Exactly. However, during the demo, the guy I came late to. I just sat down next to Scooter from 1UP when he was getting his demo, and we started talking to the guy giving the demo while Scooter's playing, and he's like, "Wow, great!" And we're kind of kicking off. And finally, he goes, "So did you beat Dragon Age 2?" I'm like, "No, but I played part of it." And he was not impressed with that, and that was the end of our conversation.
And then he was like, screw you, dude, get out of here.
It's like, sometimes,
I don't know why, you know, when developers are showing their games, they kind of expect everyone that's coming to see their game to be an expert on their series and their franchise, and they often are put off if you haven't played it before, you know?
Yeah.
But, like...
Sometimes you just...
Yeah, I mean, sorry, like, please, developers...
This is an event, like, this is not...
If you're listening, please don't be offended if we haven't played your series before.
Yeah.
Like, we're there to check it out, we'll have an open mind, but, you know, not everyone in the world has played your game.
He was a jerk about it. I don't want to paint him with a bad broad brush here.
Dragon Age 2 Legacy is out right after Comic-Con.
Yeah.
July 26th on Xbox Live, PC, and PlayStation. $10.
And it will be at Comic-Con.
Yeah, it's going to be at
Comic-Con. So if you are a fan, you can go play.
And Greg and I are going to be at Comic-Con. We'll be talking about this.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about this more later on the show. Some people are asking. They want details about what's going on at Comic-Con. But
we're
going
to go there, and we're going to get Panda, and we're going to eat pizza on the street at 4 in the morning and watch somebody dressed as Thor fight somebody dressed as Venom, and it's going to be dynamite.
That's all correct.
Damon just did Tazon Day, whatever. I move away from the mic when I breathe.
IGN reader Bad Mint comments on this Dragon Age story. He says he was disappointed with Dragon Age 2. Says
it felt
rushed, and the areas were used over and over.
So that's one of the big parts of this, right, is that they're getting out of Kirkwall. That was one of
their big
thing of the presentation.
They better not have the same dungeons, because that would just be pathetic.
Yeah, they're going to some other dungeon with stone walls and lots of dust on the floor.
No, but in Dragon Age 2, you actually would like walk into... The map would even be the same. It was just... But certain areas were actually walled off, even though it wouldn't show that on the map. Mm-hmm. It was really weird.
How you feeling about
that corner was clearly cut.
Well, not only are you a Dragon Age fan, Christine, you're also a Fable fan.
Oh, I was. I don't know that.
Really? You're not? You don't consider
yourself
a Fable fan?
Every time I see something new from them, I sort of... sadder and sadder.
To clarify, you are a big...
Fable 2
you
is my...
You love Fable 2.
...was my favorite of the franchise
and
so
then
far.
You were disappointed with Fable 3.
Yeah.
Like
I got
many,
really
like many
bored.
People were.
Yeah. Eric really liked it.
Eric brought Vidya. He liked it. But now they have got Fable The Journey coming out, and this is a Fable Connect game.
Yes.
Finally.
Yeah.
I know, right? Everybody's just been begging for this Fable Connect game.
You put up an article.
I'm so glad that they finally listened to us.
You put up an article this week wondering if it is actually a Fable game at all. Like really, like does it feel like a Fable game?
Right. And from what I saw, it does not at all. I mean, with the exception of Teresa, who's a prominent player throughout the whole series, and, you know, the enemy creatures, everything else is different. I mean, there's still magic. That's about it. So far, we haven't seen...
magic confirmed.
Are you guys holding hands over there?
Yeah, me and Anthony are holding hands.
Is that because in Fable 3 you can hold hands? Is that what you were doing there?
No,
can
just
because really?
We've been thinking about going gay for a while. I like to test the water and see how close we are.
I feel like pretty close. But the whole gist is that you're on this horse and buggy, so you get to look at a horse's ass for
Oh.
some, I imagine, a majority of the game.
Well, yeah, so Yeah, so it's a first-person Fable game, right?
Yeah, it's well, because it's Kinect, so it's, I guess, difficult to design something where you would actually have the ability to...
And part of the appeal of Fable games has always been customizing your character, right?
Yeah, well, I thought so, anyway. Fable 3 had it... it was, like, there was less costumes and less different things to play with, so it wasn't as deep as Fable 2 was. And now you seems like you can't do it at all. I don't know how you would. Like I said, I think the only thing you'd be able to do is customize your horse's butt. But I don't know. Different brands, put some ribbons on there.
Braids in the tail?
Yeah, braids in the tail. There you go.
No, to be fair, this isn't Fable 4.
No.
Right. So it's
a
spin-off.
This is some sort of a side tale.
And, you know, other games have done that before. Dead Space Ignition.
There you
anybody?
Go. Come on.
There's a very good track record of these.
Yeah. They all do really, really well. So I don't know. I mean, granted, I only saw a short demo of it, but I was not excited at all. In
is
fact,
that supposed to come out this year?
I think it's 2012.
It's next year. Okay.
I can't. Don't quote me on that.
You know, another thing that's coming out in 2012 is the PlayStation 4.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And it's going to have built-in Kinect.
That's what I heard. I heard
body controls.
The camera is right above the disc drive, just sitting there, little
hey
webcam.
Guys.
Same technology as the iPad, pretty much.
Greg Miller, any credence to these rumors?
Who knows? I mean, rumors are rumors. I sincerely doubt it.
Like, you sincerely doubt the PlayStation 4 is all of it? So you don't think it's coming out next year?
No, I don't think it's coming out next year.
Okay.
I do not think it's coming out in 2012. I mean, it may be that you get an announcement of it. You know, we're working on it. Here's some kind of tech for it. But even that seems rushed. I mean, like, right, we always talk about this, that the Xbox 360 and PS3 seem like they have such a long life. You know, I mean, there's still so much juice being squeezed out of these pears. And so, you know, we want to keep that going. Pear juice is very good.
Is it? Do people drink pear juice?
Nectar.
Man, there's so many bad comments I can make there. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't doubt the motion control camera garbage. I mean,
you that don't could think be so?
Possible. What?
That there's a motion control? I hope there's not.
You mean just like the eye toy?
Exactly.
It
would be another. No one buys the eye toy. That's why it's not supported. So if you put it in there, then you'd automatically have a tie in for the Move stuff that's still happening. I'm not saying I want it. I'm not saying it's 100% for sure. But I could see that being, you know, something in there. Yeah. They've never been great about bundling their stuff they need right from the get-go, right? No headset, no iToy, no HDMI cable.
Well, so it's looking like the Wii U is going to be the first next-generation console.
Well,
yeah, right?
This generation 0.5.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, we've got some interesting comments from a Gearbox co-founder here. Gearbox, of course, developers of Borderlands and
Duke Nukem Forever.
They're working on Arms. They're working on Aliens. Is it Colonial Marines?
Colonial Marines.
Yeah. They made some comments to us this week. They consider the Wii U a stopgap console, meaning it's not wouldn't be a full, you know, a leap, the next generation leap. It would be like you said, a 0.5.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere in between this generation.
That's
and
what
the
they call it, Wii U, right? I mean, wouldn't they have named it something completely different if it was...
Well, I mean, there's, you know, PlayStation 2 and 3.
Sure.
So are they going to continue that, by the way? Is the next PlayStation console going to be a PlayStation 4?
I don't see why they'd stop now. It's one of those things
just
where I
keep
think
adding
that
numbers.
PlayStation brand is still so known. You know what I mean? Even though 3 hasn't done...
The way it's going to end up is that by 2013, the Nintendo system will still have the lower res versions of every game.
I mean, that's what it seems like. That's what it's setting up, right? Like, I mean, you know, who knows what Nintendo's thinking or whatever, but it seems like the Wii U is their push for their next console. And so they put that out, and then, yeah, you're going to have 5 to 6 years, whatever, with that. And in that time, yeah, Xbox 720 is going to come out or whatever.
Hmm.
And then, right, it's going to happen the same way. It'll happen the same way where Nintendo seems like they'd be behind, you know, PS3 and Xbox as they go up and down.
The interesting thing about the Gearbox comments is that that doesn't seem to bother them. They actually,
really?
They say... the quote here, actually, this is Gearbox Software co-founder Brian Martell saying, "We like the system a lot. We think it's going to be a really cool stopgap in between this generation and the next. We think it's really smart of Nintendo and the fact that as a platform, it's a lot more capable for hardcore first-person shooter-style gaming. For us, that's fantastic."
Mm. Is it really, though? Just, I mean, graphically-wise, sure. But the controller?
It at least has, like, two analog
it
sliders.
It does have, yeah, I guess in the basic sense, it has the required...
It has the basic required... It's not laid out very
is
well.
Is it the perfect control scheme for it? maybe not, but at least has
the functionality.
Yeah, yes, it has what is required.
For the hardware that it's going to have, considering it'll be lower quality than like what people are going to expect, they have to keep that system reasonably priced, even with that controller.
My lips just touched the stupid new mic.
Yeah, well, that's going to happen a lot.
But then
that's why I touch my nose to it.
Lick it and claim it.
He says you're going to see textures at a resolution that you haven't seen on the current generation. So, you know, it is going to be more powerful, but not like...
But not like astounding.
Yeah, it's not going to be like the next generation.
The question is, it all comes down to how quickly Sony and Microsoft put out their next systems, right? Because right now, if Nintendo puts this out next year and there's still two more years of 360, then it doesn't really matter for a long time, right? Well, that's what I'd think too, but... I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, right now, the problem I see with this whole thing, right, is that you put it out. Let's say, you know, best case scenario, you have 2 years to yourself. The first year is going to be all these bad ports as people try to figure out how to use the system appropriately.
That always happens. Or pretty much with any new system.
Or they're going to put similar resolution 360 ports just onto the Nintendo console at the same resolution. So it won't even take advantage of the hardware specs.
Yeah, outside of first-party exclusives, you wouldn't be seeing anybody really push it. But then in the next year, when people are finally starting to get down how they're porting these things over and doing it, they release another console, or there's an announcement of another console. Everybody starts pushing towards that, and then you're back in the same situation where you're getting watered-down third-party supports onto the Wii U that aren't getting supported because people don't want to buy them, and then third parties run away from Nintendo again. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's a self-perpetuating cycle here, but we'll see.
And a lot of crappy implementations of the secondary screen, too, I bet. Mm-hmm. Once the new consoles are out.
I'm sure
some people, like Gearbox, will be able to take advantage of it uniquely, but the majority of them, I guarantee you, is just going to be like, your mini maps.
Yeah.
It's just going to be like all your user interface stuff is going to be on that.
That's exactly what he talks about in his interview. They talk about putting the HUD on that screen in your lap. And in the case of Colonial Marines, obviously you can use it for the motion tracker. Like if you remember in that movie Aliens, the guns have the actual motion tracker.
The most
tracker.
Iconic thing ever.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yes.
However, I mean, that's cool if you can take the HUD off the screen, but then...
Looking down.
Yeah, you have to look away from the screen to see that information.
Yeah.
So
unless you, like, hold it up, and then you're going to get tired.
Terrible implementations of it for the first few games.
Yeah.
Because people will be doing all this shit that we don't really
like. I never minded
having
the HUD on the screen. I don't need it on another screen.
Yeah, you just want to be able to glance at it and not have to change your eye perspective, right?
Like, and we've already seen games that have been able to come up with clever ways, like Dead Space... Put the life meter on
the back.
On your back in Tomb Raider. I don't think there's any HUD in the new Tomb Raider game.
Oh, yeah,
you know, I think there's already clever ways to get around using HUD and making for a more cinematic experience.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe like RPGs and loot. I mean, have it be your
but sure, still. Party select or something.
Still, I don't mind that being on the screen. I don't mind having to push pause and go through that. But
yeah, that's what people complain about achievements or trophies. They say that you know, when that achievement unlocks, notification pops up that pulls them out of the experience. But I always wondered,
turn that off.
And why does having your heart health meter up at the top of the screen, why does that not spoil this experience for you? You know,
I like to imagine movies with those on there when I'm watching Transformers. What how many hearts shy of?
Oh my God, he's only got half a heart left.
Oh, he's going to robot heaven.
Ding, do, ding, do.
IGN Reader Hypershell SBL.
Yeah.
Comments that we would have likely been called a stopgap console had it arrived earlier than the PlayStation 3 and the 360. And that's totally correct.
Yeah.
Because, it's not, it is a little bit more powerful than a GameCube, but not on the same level as the 360 and PS3. But he continues, that mentality concerns defining console generations by visuals. So to a Nintendo fan, it's nothing new. Is that true? Like, Nintendo fan, I mean...
Nintendo's always had a console that was on level with everyone else until the Wii. Really?
Yeah, and I think until the Wii, Nintendo consoles were actually known for graphical fidelity. You know, like the Super Nintendo, there were very cool looking games on the Nintendo 64. Even though an argument could be made that it didn't have as much data capacity as a CD-ROM. That made cut some corners.
But they
there.
Did a lot of awesome stuff with it.
Exactly, and then on the GameCube. Like, at the time, like, Resident Evil 4, there was nothing that looked like...
Rogue Squadron. Yeah.
Even just Twin
Like, State. that was just... It was known for being a console that could produce visually stunning games. And the Wii is the first Nintendo console that hasn't been visually impressive, so... I don't know.
I think he's a baby that grew up with the Wii.
Oh, here we go.
That's the thing of Hypershell SBL?
Yeah. It's probably 40 with a gun.
Oh, jeez, God.
Louise!
Nintendo fans are weird.
Oh my God! Oh, we were having such an intelligent discussion about Nintendo for a change. Then Anthony's got to drag it down.
I was surprised to learn that more mobile gaming is being done on iOS platforms than on Android. Why are you laughing?
Are you serious?
Because iPhone only has 15% of the market, and Android has like 40%.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot more Android phones out there, and yet still more gaming is happening on iPhones.
And I think that comes down to the fact that there's no unified marketplace. Like, there's not, like, the iPhone, you can only buy stuff through the App Store. Whereas an Android, you can go to a bunch of third parties.
Isn't it a smoother experience as well?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
The closest Android has now is the Amazon App Store. So maybe if that takes off, they can pick up a lot more. But they don't have any one App Store to go to.
Yeah.
Where there's, like, all the games in one place.
I feel like if you have an iPhone, like, that's one of the reasons why you have it, is so that you can play games.
The App Store is just so well curated, too.
Mm-hmm.
So
thanks, Boson.
We like Apple.
I wasn't surprised at all. Like, I just, I guess just think of market share phones. I'd never see them play games on it. Where all I see is people whip up their iPhone and play
using
game dev, cut the rope,
yeah,
feed Levi oil.
Thank you. Okay.
IGN reader Cause Robot mentions that iOS has better games than Android, hands down. So it makes sense.
It's true, only because a lot of games don't come out to Android because of the broken up marketplace.
Anthony, do we want to talk about the change in technology we saw yesterday?
Are we talking about the one that I wasn't even sure I understood?
The Scrabbles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scrabbles.
David, hold on to your ass here.
Is EA working on a new Scrabble game?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Scrabble for Android's finally coming out. But that's
for free,
not,
right?
That's the one. But the big deal is that...
Hold on to your ass, Damon.
Is that through the power of Facebook Connect, you can... which I thought was funny because they're like pushing Origin.
Yeah,
all of our games are going to have Origin, but all Origin does is the leaderboards, not connecting gamers at this point.
Yeah.
But through Facebook Connect, you'll be able to play. Like, you could be on Facebook, I could be on my iPhone, Nick Cullen could be on his Android device, and we can all be playing together.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time.
OMG.
Are you guys being genuine?
No, we're being serious.
Yeah,
okay. I mean, it's serious.
Because Dungeon Defenders is doing this too. And that's a game, a PlayStation 3 game.
Yeah.
So on PlayStation 3, you can be playing on PS3 against people on iPhone, against people on PC. So.
What about Android?
Me, I don't know.
No.
They have Android as well.
Damn it.
So.
Well, I mean, yeah, this is kind of new. It is kind of new tech, and it's very cool tech. I mean,
it is. It's just, you know,
it's dumb.
It's just,
you know, why can't, if everyone's playing, you know, Borderlands, why can't a 360 player play against a PC, PS3 player? You know, it's dumb.
It's just that it was kind of less exciting because it's Scrabble.
Yeah,
but to be fair,
but you could chat during.
To be fair, it is more exciting. It gives them a one up on Words with Friends.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm.
So
yeah. That's how you signed off in your little article. All right, full circle.
Tell me about Civ World, Anthony.
Oh man, it's finally out.
It's out now.
It's a Facebook game.
If only we could play
Facebook
games on our
computers. I'm pretty sure I got kicked out of my civilization.
What?
Yeah, well,
you can get kicked out.
What did you do?
Well, if the person who becomes king. So the way it works is unlike other civilization games, you band together with people as a city state, basically to form a confederacy to make a civilization. So together with some people, I formed the Americans. And whoever's the most powerful in the American civilization becomes the king.
Powerful
and
how?
Like, army-wise, they have the best civilization.
Okay.
Like, just point. Their fame is the highest. And so our king put up this bill that said if you're not active for a period of 48 hours, you're out. You're just kicked
wow.
out. So I haven't played.
That's pretty
who's
harsh.
The king?
I haven't played. Nah, some guy.
Okay.
Named Dennis.
His name Bill?
So you have to work with other players in a kingdom?
You have to. Like, whenever you decide to make war, it gets voted on. So everyone has a vote.
Wow.
But the king
cool.
has like
wow,
five.
Cool.
The king has like five votes.
Can you? Are you with randoms or can you be with friends?
Can
we start a new civilization?
You could
me?
Be with friends.
Since you got kicked out of
Damn,
yours, let's start
okay.
a new one.
All right.
I'm in.
Stimer, are you in?
I've been wanting to try a Facebook game. Like I
stopped playing Dragon Age Legends, so this
it's
will be
really
my
good.
First Facebook game in
it's
a while.
It's really complex, but it's okay that it's so complex because if you hit the question mark in the game, it immediately opens up a wiki right underneath the game with it, where you can just, it has a really great search and you can find everything you need to know. About like
how many people
doing.
Can be in a civilization?
Well, I don't know how many people can be in a civilization, but I know that 200 people can be in the game at once.
Okay,
so I think the civilization can have like 20 people.
Well, us four could be together though. In the
oh,
game.
That's not a problem.
And then, Steimer, what you're saying that our computers can't run Facebook? What?
Well, in the office,
it's just the internet blocks it.
Yeah,
god damn it.
Our firewall blocks.
So you have to connect to the gaming LAN.
If you do it through your gaming LAN,
I'll that PC tower I got underneath my desk. I'm gonna get up and just give me my Civ World station.
All right, so send us invites.
All right, I'm gonna do as soon as we're out of here. I'm putting on hold this NCAA review.
I've been wanting to check out
Grid Civilization.
I want to check out
Empire. Call it
Empires and Allies.
Oh, yeah. That's like a version of Axis Analysis, right?
Okay.
Like
it's the strategy game made for Zynga by developers from Command & Conquer.
Wow.
And it is vastly more popular than Black Ops. You understand how significant that is?
Well, it's just like I saw this Facebook game yesterday called Pet Society. Yeah. Pet Society has 6 million people that log in every month to play. 6 million.
Yeah, but that's how many people are on Facebook? 720 million or something?
I'm just saying that 6 million people playing this game every month is more people than are playing Halo. Like... You know.
Yeah, a lot of our readers and even us, like, we tend to not take Facebook games seriously, and yet they're intensely more popular than any console game.
It's just the install base. I know. I mean, it's like, they've 720 million people. 6 million people playing out of that. I mean,
I would like to hear from our listeners what they think about Facebook games, if they play any Facebook games, because to be honest, how to cover this stuff is a challenge for us at IGN.
What do you want out of Facebook coverage?
Yeah, we experiment with different things. We check and see what works. Do you want Facebook game coverage from IGN? Does it make sense? Is it possible? Let us know. Email us at gamescoop@IGN.com.
Because even that Civworld game, as cool as it is, people didn't really seem to care that I put up articles about it.
Yeah, I mean, we'll point out stuff that we think is cool like that, but they don't do great traffic, so.
All right. We're founding IGN Scooptopia.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do that today. And then we'll just attach our
personalities. Maybe people just want to join in.
That's true. I mean,
we'll figure out how big it is.
We're friends. Obviously, we're friends with a lot of our fans on Facebook. So I'll totally play Civ World and Empires and Allies with you guys. I want to get into that. Anthony, IGN reader in Nyron125TK asks, Civ World does sound interesting, but man, it almost sounds too consuming.
The whole point is that they set it up to where. There isn't always, I mean, there's always a little things for you to do, but it's very easy to go on there, spend like 30 minutes catching up with what your civilization's voting on, spend all your resources that you can kind of spend in the immediate sense, and then log off. Gotcha. You can definitely bounce in and out of it. It's not a problem.
It can be
consuming if you want it to be, but by no means is it a game you have to be constantly paying attention to.
Hmm. So it's not like Fishville or whatever that one that Geddes was writing about.
Yeah. That it's one, like, where your fish die.
Where your fish just die all the time.
If you have an addictive personality, though, you may want to avoid it. Mm. That's just a suggestion.
I'm addicted to you.
Did either of you play The Sims 3 Pets?
No.
No, but we have to watch the presentation for Sims 3 Pets. We came out... The presentation ends, Damon, right? All the EA showcase, like, they do an hour of presentations, and then you're let loose to play all these games. Ends. They say, we got a surprise for you out on the lawn. We're like, okay, before they landed a helicopter out there, there was NFL players.
Did they really land a helicopter?
Yeah.
For Army of Two.
I thought you meant to say yesterday.
They didn't do anything cool last year.
You didn't hear what we did last year? Or this year? So we walk out. You know what's out there, Damon? A bunch of dogs. They're throwing frisbees. They got all these trick dogs.
Why didn't I go to this?
They got a wiener dog out there that's jumping off people's backs and trying to catch frisbees. All these dogs sucked at catching frisbees.
Wait, were these puppies or were they dogs?
They were dogs. We kept making jokes, too, that it was like... Oh, you only caught 40% of frisbees.
Leash off
into the highway.
Were these like the PR people's dogs that they just brought out?
This was an official dog team.
Yeah,
there was a dog team.
Yeah. They were on mics giving out the. Here comes.
I think they were called
Peppers,
Frisco.
And she's gonna jump off this.
I think they were called Frisco Flyers.
Frisco Flyers. Yeah.
Frisco Flyers.
And they missed a lot of frisbees. They all missed a lot of frisbees.
They were just nervous.
Bad dogs.
Yeah. Bad dog indeed.
It was bad enough that Greg watched like the wiener dog because it was a wiener dog, and then you were like. I'm going inside.
I don't want to see no Australian Shepherd. Get out of here.
Oh, but they're so cute.
Get off my lawn.
Before we jump into listener mail, I have a code for Galaga Legions DX on Xbox Live Arcade. This is an attempt to sort of revisit. Galaga Legions came out a few years ago, and it's a really fast-paced psychedelic shooter. It's okay. It's worth checking out for sure, especially if you don't have to pay for it, and if you win this code, you do not have to pay for it. So here it is. Galaga Legions DX on XBLA. KJX72JWV3JYK6GYXVT3WKQ2RZ.
R2-D2. No. C3PO.
Gotta love them Xbox codes.
As always, so long. Only pay attention to the letters and numbers that I said. Not
I said droid designations from Star Wars.
Yeah, you'll be okay.
Yeah, don't type in R2-D2.
Hey, also, I guess this. Anybody ever enter in a random code and have it work? You ever just try to guess a code?
No.
I haven't done that.
I think it's so daunting.
That would be really funny if it did work. It's like, oh boy, free game.
Until little Timmy gets his game home.
You have downloaded Halo Anniversary.
You have the THQ pass for Homefront.
Oh gosh.
Womp womp.
Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Listeners, remember you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com, just like Ismail Rodriguez did.
That's a good name.
He says, what's up? I've been thinking about getting a wrestling game.
Okay.
The new WWE All-Stars is a little too cartoony for my taste, so I'm not getting that. But there have been so many SmackDown versus Raw games. I want to get the one with the best character selection. So can you help me out choosing the best version of SVR?
Oh, okay.
2007.
You think so? PS2, here comes the...
Anthony's just being a jerk.
The one that's universally hailed as the greatest SmackDown versus Raw is Here Comes the Pain. Which, it might have just been SmackDown, Here Comes the Pain. But that's a PS2 game. You're always looking for like the one that's got the most bells and whistles nowadays, and can't speak to WWE 12 other than what I saw, which is they've tweaked, you know, the animation system. They'll have the most up to date people in there. Last year's was good, right? I mean,
which one are you saying?
I would get the most recent one out. I mean, okay. That's what I would do. That's gonna have the most up to date characters.
It'll probably be the easiest to find.
Oh, no, I'm gonna say not last year's. Get the one before it.
So 2009.
Yes.
But would it be called 2010?
No, they were a year ahead. So last year's was 2011.
SmackDown versus Raw 2010.
So you want to get 2010. Okay. Get that. Or read my reviews.
There was a wrestling game I always meant to play that was for PS2.
Fire Pro Wrestling.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Wow. That one's supposed to be coming to XBLA.
Oh, you know. No, let's not do that injustice, Damon, all right? On PS2, Fire Pro Wrestling was super, like, in-depth. Like, they had little sprite characters and stuff, but they had all these wrestlers that they knocked off and yada, yada, yada. And it was really a really in-depth wrestling game with barbed wire death matches and yada,
yeah,
yada.
That's what
the one coming to XBLA is like, hey, I'm going to toss my avatar up in there. When he slams, like, no, you don't want to buy that one.
Okay. Right.
Unless you really like avatars.
But yeah, I've always heard that if you can find a copy of the PS2 Fire Pro Wrestling, it's worth having.
Yeah.
This is Esteban Carlos. He says, if you had to rent a video game, would you rather use Gamefly or Redbox?
Redbox
only because it's more immediate.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say Gamefly, just because I like Netflix so much, and it's a similar service. And Redbox is now owned by Blockbuster, a company I loathe.
Why do you loathe them?
Because they're a terrible, unpersonal corporate chain that put my local Pop and Go video out of business.
Story. Where was
Pop
the story?
And Go. Was that actually what it was called?
Yeah, I would ride my bike there to rent Friday the 13th movies when I was in elementary school, and then Blockbuster came in and they had to close up shop.
They ruined everything.
Gamefly. Gamefly bought Direct to Drive and took
Is cool Redbox just the same?
Redbox is
Redbox?
It's like outside your supermarket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
just a machine outside your supermarket.
Oh, like, okay.
It's the one,
I've
where you rent from the grocery stores. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I do that for the immediacy.
Exactly, the immediacy. You can walk up, get it, and return it the next day.
I love Netflix, but I use Netflix for instant streaming. I've had two discs on my desk for 3 months that I haven't sent away.
I do like the technology of Redbox.
You don't leave your house.
I know.
So wouldn't you rather it come to you?
Yeah,
like Gamefly?
I just call a taxi.
Oh,
service.
No, but it's going to be, you've seen me where I'm like, man, I really want to play something like this. Why wouldn't I just want to go down to this grocery store and grab it?
Because you're lazy.
Well, I don't want to wait 3 days for it either.
Overnight shipping.
Okay.
That's not how it works.
This is Jason Lazar. He says, this is Jason from San Diego. I'm just wondering which editors will be blessing my city with their presence. Anything you guys are looking forward to? Any idea where the meet and greet will be? And he says, you must go to a taco shop and get a California burrito while you're down here. Jason, we live in California.
Yeah,
we've had California burritos.
Okay, well, don't overstep your bounds because everybody, you know, San Diego burritos are on a different level.
I get that, but we've had California burritos, right? Unless California burrito means San Diego burrito, which would be weird.
California burrito, they put French fries in it, if I'm wrong.
Really?
What?
If I'm wrong. I think that's what it is.
I know that's very popular on there. I'm not sure the
name. Yeah, I think a California burrito, they put French fries in it.
That would be news to me.
I believe that's what it is.
And I would try that.
Yeah.
But Greg and I are going to Comic-Con with Rich George.
Nintendo.
Yeah.
And Walter is going.
Walter's going.
Walter Slopez will be there.
And I think
is Naomi going?
Naomi is going. Our new Fix host. And Jack DeVries is going too. He'll be there.
Okay.
When is it? The end of this month?
Yeah, July 20th. Starts 20th.
Not 20th,
yeah.
Whatever.
20th, that Wednesday through the weekend.
Is that the end of the month?
Pretty close.
Oh. IGN's going to have an Oasis Lounge like we did last year. And I think on Saturday of the show at like 3 or 3:30,
I think that's correct too.
We're going to have a little gathering there. Yeah. We'll be there hanging out to meet people.
Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, come by.
Game over, Greggy. Day zero. We'll talk about it. We'll tweet about it. You'll find it.
All the listeners should be following us on Twitter. We'll be sharing all the details there, but we will have a little gathering at our lounge that goes to like 5 or 5:30. And then I'm thinking from there, we just jump up, we go to a bar.
We just go get Panda somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. So I want our San Diego,
and get some Pinkberry.
I want our San Diego listeners to help.
We tried that one here. It didn't work out.
No.
I want our San Diego listeners to help us pick a place to go for the meet and greet.
Damn it. What? Keep rubbing my face in this freaking mic.
We had it at Dick's last year. I mean, we could do it there again. We would need to let them know we were coming.
Yeah, well, but we're not. Help. I mean, they just.
We're not married to that place at all.
You know of a San Diego place that we can go to and not get hassled for having a big group of people and not feel like jerks, because
preferably somewhere close to Comic-Con.
And that's when it gets tough, because that's when it's everything's gonna be packed.
Yeah, we're not local, so we don't know what the good place is.
If you know like a giant storm drain, we can just go drinking.
Oh my god,
that'd be awesome.
If you own a bus and are willing to drive to the beach.
This is Deadpool 5.
Okay.
He says, I really enjoyed last week's episode of the GameScoop debriefings. The feelings of disdain you guys expressed regarding your dissatisfaction with Nintendo are feelings I can totally relate to. I'm 29, and Nintendo has been my system of choice growing up, much like Damon and Brian Altano spoke about, from the days of NES up to Nintendo 64. My fandom for Nintendo waned around the launch of the GameCube. I disagree with you there. I really like the GameCube. Anyway, he says, by 2001, it seemed Nintendo was catering to a younger generation that really didn't speak to me. The repetitiveness of the Pokemon franchise and Super Smash Bros. Series were not interesting to me. Things really hit the fan when Nintendo began rehashing the same games I had already played on NES and Super Nintendo and re-released them on GBA, echoing with what's been happening now with Nintendo 64 games being ported to the 3DS. I still own a Nintendo 64, and I bought a DS Lite with a handful of games, but the Nintendo I remember growing up just isn't the same. By the late 90s, I had moved on to the PC as my gaming system of choice. You really can't beat the mouse and keyboard combo when it comes to playing first-person shooters like Quake or Half-Life. Well, that's true.
So Deadpool did something many Nintendo fans never do, which is that he grew up, stopped being a giant child.
You know, that
didn't think to themselves, man, I just can't wait to have a Mario hat sitting on my desk. No, well, you can't. Be an adult.
Well, here's more of a... Here's another Nintendo...
That's the man with the Star Wars tattoos.
I know.
do you want to tell them about the book you're listening to?
I'm wearing a Star Wars shirt at the moment, and I'm listening to a dramatized Star Wars audiobook.
Nice.
Where one man does all the voices.
Really? It's one
well,
guy?
Well, that's what an audiobook is.
But it's not him reading the book. Duh. It's him being like...
He does different voices. He does... And it's dramatized, so when he does a droid, they put like a droid filter on it.
Okay.
If it says like in the background, like he could hear the thrum of the engines, you hear like.
Oh, okay. That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah,
are you enjoying it?
I am.
Do you recommend it to the listeners if they start?
Called Death Trooper.
Okay.
And it's by Joe Schreiber.
Let's see if we get free copies of that now.
Another listener that is a Nintendo fan and agrees with a lot of our sentiments, but he hasn't given up on Nintendo. This is Mehdi Stolati.
I remember him.
Yeah. He's been on GameScoop before.
Yes, that sounds about right.
He went to... What was the place we used to go to in South San Francisco?
Oh, Edna's Ichiban Library?
No. Or maybe it's in San Bruno. Right across the street from where you used to live. In the Tamforan Mall.
BJ's.
Yeah, we used to go to BJ's. Oh, he went to BJ's with us.
Right.
He says, anyway, I wanted to say I am a Nintendo fanboy, and I totally agree with you guys. As a fanboy, I'm still critical of the company. I've been jaded many times. I waited in line for my 3DS knowing I wouldn't buy a game until Ocarina of Time, and knowing that Nintendo hasn't been trying hard enough to meet the needs of their loyal fans. As a fanboy, you need to be critical. I love my girlfriend to death, but if she started letting herself go, I would tell her. Same thing with Nintendo.
Wow.
You're not telling them. You're not continuing them. To
yeah,
support
you're
them.
Buying their stuff.
A 3DS.
Yeah,
you waited in line to buy a 3DS, even though you knew you weren't going to buy a game. What the fuck is wrong
and
with
you?
And
then you got Ocarina of Time.
Yeah. Know. You're sending mixed messages there, boy.
Yeah, no, you're not sending any mixed messages. You're sending
one message. Well, I will
think,
buy everything.
Sorry,
you
your
put
brain
out.
Thinks. I mean, like, you
oh,
think
see.
That you're, sending
conflicted.
One message.
Yeah, you're I mean, I guess, like, by buying Ocarina of Time, you're saying, yes, Nintendo, keep just re-releasing older games. Yeah.
You don't
and by
have
buying
to have a
3DS,
yeah,
you're
you
like,
have to have
we
a
don't need
lineup.
Games, just buy the system.
Nintendo itself, is by this point, it's even admitted that their 3DS launch lineup was weak.
Nintendo is your girlfriend, and they have let themselves go. You just don't give a shit because you know it's the only girl
you're married.
Date.
Yeah, it's too late.
Okay, moving on. This is Tim. He has a question for Greg.
Hey.
Says, I do not own an iPad, but I do own an iPod Touch, and I love comic books. My question is, do you think it is worth it to buy comics digitally on my iPod?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. I mean, you're welcome to try it, like, because you figure
you don't think it's worth it.
You can down exactly if you. It's some people do like that guided reading thing where
you
like,
read
it
like
goes,
a cell,
one
it
panel,
goes panel to panel and it directs. I hate that. I just want to look at it. That's why I wanted the iPad so bad, because it's just a page. I can just look at it, and if the text is small or something, I can zoom in and read it and then zoom back out. But I tried doing it there. Like, you can. The Comixology app is free. Download it. There's plenty of free books on there to try. Download them. Try it yourself. But no, I would not recommend it.
Hmm. This is Jacob. He says, I am the only one among my friends who plays inverted.
Yeah.
Up is always down and down is always up. Just wondering, do any of you play inverted? Yes, Jacob, I do.
Do
I cannot
really?
Play any
really?
Other way.
I didn't know you did that.
Yeah.
Stupid
whenever,
idiot.
Whenever I'm, if I'm at an event or something and I got to check out a game with, the first thing I always do is invert the controls.
Yeah,
the first thing I always do is uninvert the controls.
Well, I usually don't have to because I don't think most people play that way.
Well, I must end up going after you then, because every time I go up to the con, it's always like, God
like
damn it.
Back in the day when kids like naturally were born left-handed and then they would just hit them on their left hand. So
yeah,
they would stop
and
get
them.
That's what we should do with inverted people.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm a minority.
Yeah, you are.
And we're going to discriminate against you, so get used to it, all right? Move to the back of the bus.
I hate it when I'm like at an event and we're getting direct feed for a game and I can't invert the controls.
I look
like an absolute idiot playing the game. I'm like running into walls and the camera's like swinging all over the place. Like I can't do it. Just it feels totally weird to me. I don't know why.
It's the same way going the other direction, right?
I know, but somewhere along the line, I played a game where that's the way it was, and that it just felt normal to me. It got ingrained in me. So I don't know what game it was that taught me that that's the way it should be. But.
I don't know. Probably flight control.
Maybe. This is from Damien.
Oh.
He's talking about our top 100 list. He says, Metal Gear Solid 4 was rightfully left off the list.
Oh, good.
He says, I assume MGS4 was intentionally left off of your top 100 modern games list because Peace Walker is already on there at number 37. I totally support your choice to leave it out. As a big-time fan of the franchise, I was very disappointed in Solid Snake's Farewell. The last three acts sucked ass.
Oh my god, well you're crazy.
Stealth action espionage was replaced by overindulgent catharsis during Acts 3 and 5, and Act 4 was nostalgic but tedious. He has more to say, but do you want to comment on any of that before he goes on?
I understand what he's saying. Yeah, he's right. Like, thank you for being a voice of reason. Many people didn't read the intro to the top 100 where we said we're only putting one entry for every franchise in and justifying it. My Peace Walker write-up, unless it got edited, explains that, Metal Gear Solid 4 got a perfect 10 and is a great game. However, this is a more... If you were jumping into one game, this is I think it's probably the best Metal Gear. And I think it's definitely got the most cohesive story. You can understand it, you can play it, you can enjoy it. Whereas Metal Gear Solid 4 was an awesome game, but I do think, in hindsight, it was a super awesome game for people who were huge Metal Gear Solid nerds like myself.
I liked Metal Gear Solid 2, but Metal Gear Solid 4 was bad.
Yeah, see,
with bad shooting.
You said liked. What do you mean bad shooting?
Its shooting was not good.
You're crazy.
It was shooting designed by people that didn't really understand how to do shooting.
Well, you're right. They don't have guns in Japan. They're a peaceful nation, unlike us.
So is Sweden. They're making Battlefield, so that's not a fucking excuse.
Yeah, I saw that garbage running on PS3 yesterday. Didn't look too hot, did it, Anthony?
Damien has a little bit of a...
It's not garbage.
He has a little bit of a rant about MGS4 here.
Go ahead.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty good. He says, the MGS4 story started out great by setting the stage for a commentary on modern war profiteering wrapped up in my then-favorite franchise. Instead, we ended up with cliche relationship garbage and an ending too happy to carry any weight for the series. I wish I was there to shit on Meryl's wedding dress and shoot Armus Raiden right in the goddamn face. Solid Snake sacrificing himself to prevent a fox die epidemic? How symbolic, how meaningful. Too bad Solid Snake pussies out and Big Boss appears just in time for a 2-hour explanation on why Major Zero is a dick. So Kojima and company can take MGS4 back to their doobie den and produce something worth the top 100 anytime they want. Until then, I stand by the decision to leave it out.
Everyone thinks Kojima writes these brilliant stories, and all he does is writes babble. He takes, like, oh, that's a really cool-sounding English word. Let's juxtapose that next to some other cool-sounding English words and make a babble that doesn't really mean anything. These idiots that don't know anything about language will think I'm brilliant.
Oh, my God. Anthony's on fire.
No
golden god is safe today.
Seriously.
Last week, someone wrote in and asked if we ever fall asleep playing games.
Yeah.
Eric Lincoln writes in to say, I always fall asleep playing Ace Combat games and wake up to the repetitive replay of my jet smashing the ground. These games always put you to sleep. Why do you keep playing them?
Maybe that's why he plays them.
He's an insomniac.
Maybe, you know, that's your sleep aid. Instead of taking drugs, you just play a boring game.
He also has a question, again, about the Metal Gear franchise. He says, would you guys say that you're burned out with Metal Gear? I mean, the game has incredible reviews, but is little more than an afterthought nowadays. Other than Peace Walker, other than Peace Walker, which Greg also loves, there isn't a lot of recognition for it. I personally thought the story for MGS4 was too complicated to be understandable.
It wasn't too complicated, it just was babble.
Doesn't the gameplay and level design get merit anymore? I don't know. So I guess he's just saying people aren't talking about Metal Gear
enough
but,
anymore.
I mean, there hasn't been, like, we know that Rising is coming, but they've been really, Konami's been really quiet about it.
You can cut watermelons in half.
I would say the fact that it didn't show up at E3 this year was, you know, that's not a good sign for that game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I think as a franchise, it gets enough credit for sure. I think that Metal Gear Solid 4 was super polarizing. People either loved it or just did not like it. And then I think Peace Walker came out on a system that sadly nobody, everybody was over. And so like a lot of people didn't play it. And now it's going
to
get...
Yeah, the good thing is it's coming to PSN.
It's coming to these HD editions, and it'll be interesting to see what people think of it. Because a lot of people are going to look at it and go, well, it doesn't look that great. Because it's not, you know, it's HD, but it's just up-res polygons or whatever. So it still looks kind of blocky and stuff.
And trophies or no trophies?
Trophies are in it.
Okay. Mm. That is good, at least.
Yes.
This is Azelcorn.
Oh, no, I like that name.
No. He clarifies his name is Andrew, but...
No, that's cool, Andrew.
He says, I've got something to say.
Oh, God. Get it off your chest, Azelcorn.
I've been a console gamer all my life, mostly because it's cheaper, and I don't have the time or PC specs to run games at high quality. But being a fan of The Wars and KOTOR, you know what he's talking about there, Anthony? I can't pass up the chance to play BioWare in LucasArts' Love Child, a.k.a. The Old Republic. My question to you is, will you be trying The Old Republic, knowing it'll play more like a classic BioWare game than WoW, or are MMOs just not your thing?
It does not play that much like a classic BioWare game. It still very much plays like WoW, except it has story parts that are like a BioWare game.
So, let's start with you. Are you going to play The Old Republic?
If I get a free copy, and it comes with a free one-month trial... I'll play for that 1 month and then probably stop.
Yeah. Even you're the biggest Star Wars fan I know, and you're not really into The Old Republic.
Every time I've played it at demos and stuff, I've thought, this is boring.
So. It's a lot of just running. You're running across fields, running to your next objective. That's what I've seen every time I've seen it.
Right. It's so hard to preview MMOs.
It's a giant MMO.
That's the problem. Like, remember, I got into DC Universe Online and still look forward to getting into it again one day. But like at previews, it was just smashing things in the street. It didn't make any sense.
When I play MMOs, story is never something that really resonates or anything like that. Like when you play an MMO, it's always just about character progression. And when I want to play Star Wars, it is very much a character thing and how this person is participating in a story that I'm already familiar with. Almost all the Star Wars stories and games are connected to some movie or like well-known storyline and well-known characters, and this doesn't have that at all.
Yeah, but if... I don't know. I feel like the reason I quit WoW is because I just got bored and was just grinding.
Well,
and so if there was a story or something there to keep me going, maybe I would have...
There was a story in WoW.
No, not one that I friggin' knew about. I was just...
Exactly,
it was really complicated.
Exactly, because when a quest pops up, all anyone does is an MMO is like,
except... By the way, I did read all of those. It doesn't matter, because you go from one area to another, how is that gonna... They don't know where you're going next. I mean, they sort of do, but you can go wherever you want at some point.
All I'm saying is if you buy a lifetime subscription when that game comes out, like with the game, you're a damn fool.
I'm not saying you should buy a lifetime subscription, but I am interested to play it.
I probably won't. I don't know. I loved Knights of the Old Republic.
Knights of the Republic was awesome.
Like everyone does.
So to be fair, I have a shameful confession even as a
you don't like that one?
That I didn't have an Xbox, so I never played.
Wow.
I never played through KOTOR. I've only played the first few hours on PC once.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Shocking. Crazy. Probably the best Star Wars story I've ever experienced.
I mean, it's just hard to go back now.
Yeah, I guess I can see that.
Yeah.
Andrew has a PS question for you, Anthony.
Okay.
What are the odds of successfully navigating an asteroid field?
500,000 to 1?
No,
3,720 to 1.
Oh.
Nerds.
Anyways, that's not true, though. Asteroids in real space are miles apart.
I think he's saying that's the quote from the movie.
It is.
You were way off. 500,000 versus
3,000. It was in the hundreds of thousands.
Last email here. This is from Chad Smith.
Chad!
He says, my favorite part of the podcast is when Damon says, let's check in with the listeners. And Greg says,
hello, listeners.
Yeah, I had to say that, you know.
Greg,
I'm sorry. I thought I was going somewhere. He's what's up, listeners?
His question is...
I did that today. For him.
Chad Smith. Yes.
Okay.
Chad's question is, what inactive series would you love to see a new game from? Mine was Deus Ex until Human Revolution was announced. Inactive series.
Brothers in Arms. The real Brothers in Arms.
Not the The new one that was announced
the
at new, E3?
The Last Brothers in Arms for Xbox 360. Hell's Highway. Well, no, the old one was called Hell's. The new one's called Fearsome 4 or something like that.
Furious 4.
And the old one ends on a cliffhanger, says to be continued. And it's a storyline that started with the PC, PS2 version, Xbox version, that has been building up for three games. To be continued, never be continued.
It's sad.
Does Half-Life count as an inactive franchise?
Yeah.
At this point,
because I was thinking,
so.
But, you know, it really hasn't been that long since Episode 2. It's only been 4 years, you know.
It's kind of long.
I mean.
To be fair, Valve's
to not
put
say
out a game
anything.
Every year.
But. Yeah. But then you get stuff like, you know, like Duke Nukem was gone for 12 years, you know. That's,
and that should never
I think
come
Deus Ex was.
Beyond Good and Evil. That's my good, that's gone good. One.
But they are talking about it.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
Kind of. Mine is the either Quest for Glory or Gabriel Knight.
Gabriel Knight, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, yeah. I love the Quest for Glory series too, man.
So good. Please come back.
Nothing, yes. Gray?
I got nothing. Hmm? Superman? Can we get another Superman game? How about that?
When the movie comes out, there will be one.
Oh, God, no.
Oh,
please.
Yeah. They've got the new
Learn from Batman.
Yeah, just make us a standalone Superman
game. Just make a standalone Superman game. Don't worry about it coming out around the movie, with the movie. Don't sweat it.
What would the perfect Superman game be like?
An impossible question to an impossible question to answer. I would like a kryptonite frog, some rings to fly through.
All right, well, that's all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, Christine. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Anthony. And thank you to all the listeners. Remember, you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com. And do plan to, if you're going to be at Comic-Con, do plan to come out and hang out with Greg and I there.
That's Saturday.
Yep. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop. And we're out. Come get some. Beware, I
live. IGN Gamescoop. Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.